The Tour to Brisbane on Sunday, 14th of April. Early bird entries closing this week. Register now at tourtobrisbane.org. The Big
Breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, welcome to the catch up. Very nice to have you along. Make sure you subscribe. Yes. You'll get easier plenty on today.
Monday.
Talked about careers where women earn more money. Oh. Some of them are slightly ridiculous.
Disgusting.
I want to be a goat farmer.
Was that an April Fool's Day story?
No, it legitimately wasn't. It came out across the weekend.
Now I think everything we did on the show might have been April Fool's Day
related. Well,
that's
only because you got stuffed with Sally Pearson because you genuinely thought she was going to go and become a heptathlete.
Isn't she, though?
Have you seen anyone deny that story?
Okay, no, but she's put it on her socials. It's come out independently from her. There's been no press conference. It's not like, hey, this is a big Sally Pearson story.
Let's be honest. Does anybody ever want to be a heptathlete?
No.
Yeah, no.
It means you're crap at one particular thing, I'll spread my crapness over different events.
My mum always said, if you're the loser of the decathlon, should be shamed at the closing ceremony. Like, this person is terrible at 10 different events.
Whoa. Let's not forget that bloke that used to be Bruce Jenner. He was the best in the world at bad stuff.
What?
Had a lot of bad stuff.
Well, he got woman gold.
Woman used to be Bruce Jenner is what you're looking for there, but that's okay.
The what? Woman?
Yes. You said it wrong, but that's incorrect. That's fine. Adrian Schrinner, our new Lord Mayor, joined us this morning.
Is he really? Or is that an April Fool's Day?
You think everything's a conspiracy today?
No, he won that across the weekend.
Did the Lions really win on the weekend? Yes. Or is that April Fool's?
Today. Today is anything happens this morning is April Fool. Everything that happened across the weekend.
Nick was talking about snail farmers. April Fool's Day joke or not?
No, legit. Legitimate snail farmers under the pump.
Rugby league news.
Geez, you're gullible. Next year, I'm
Anthony Seibold said the F word a lot of times in the dressing room. April Fool's Day joke?
No. Certainly not.
I don't know what to believe anymore.
No. Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, just go through them. What I regard to be the most stupid story in the paper today. Well, it's not only in the Brisbane Courier Mail, it's in the Gold Coast Bulletin, okay? And it pertains to the guy. You know about it. I've shown you this. Nick, I haven't passed this over to you yet, but SeaWorld has asked customers to leave their pets at home when visiting the theme park after multiple dogs were found tied to cars. That's how it started.
Yeah.
And I'll put the photo to you. It's of a poodly-looking dog.
Spoodle.
Is that a spoodle of some sort? Tied with a pink lead to the car's tyre or somewhere nearby. I can't see that bit. But it's been left on a towel underneath the car, so it's under the car. It's not locked into the car. With some KFC, it's actually half a burger and some chips, some dog biscuits and some water. And the dog is lying peacefully, calmly under the car and some goody two shoes, need to get my stick my nose into someone else's business, has rung the security staff and gone, this is outrageous, we need to track these people down. Let's remember, it was 25 degrees yesterday.
24.4.
It does say in the article it was 24.4. You have
Scorcher.
Read it.
Scorcher. Yep.
All right. Is there something wrong with this? Like, what is wrong with leaving a dog in good conditions? I understand, don't leave them in the car, but if you leave them in the underneath the car, it's fine.
Who is this incredible couple, right? Because that's a hybrid. Not only is the dog a bit of a hybrid, the couple is. Because someone in the couple wanted a poodle cross and the other one goes drive-through KFC. That's not the same person.
I have massive problems with this.
I do
not understand why someone needs to take their dog to a theme park ever.
Okay.
Like, come on.
Here's
the thing. There were
multiple
dogs. We're
going to SeaWorld. Let's take the dog.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you have one of those spoodly poodle little things that wants
not
to be with
dog.
You all the time. Why are you leaving it on a Dora Explorer towel under the car?
Maybe security. They got to the gate with the dog in the bag and they said, you can't bring that rum or that dog in. You're going to have to take him back out to the car.
Take it home. There are so many things that could go wrong in that scenario and the temperature is the least of them.
Can we let that go? But obviously there's people, there were four dogs. All right, just yesterday, four dogs in the car park tied to cars.
It's disgraceful, people. Wow.
That is mind-blowing.
Yeah, that's all right. But why? All right, you're walking along. You're walking along. You've got a great day with at the park with your family. You see a dog tied to a car outside the car with water, with food. Why would you ring up? Just leave the people alone.
Because
they've decided to go to the beach
behavior.
And then they've decided to go to
because
SeaWorld.
Because what if that dog gets distressed? There's so many things that
gets
could go
loose.
Wrong with that. Gets loose, gets run
it's tied
over.
Up.
says, like, how well? Like, I just don't. It blows my mind that people leave your dog at home.
No,
yeah, who?
Mind your own business.
No,
mind
way.
Your own business. No. Get in your car and go home. You've had a good day.
No,
that's
I won't.
My dog. I can do whatever then I like. It's leave my dog. It I've treated it
at
well.
Home.
It's got water. It's got food. It's got a towel so it doesn't get burnt on the tarmac.
Well, leave it at home then. Yeah. It does not need to be in the car right. park of a theme park.
Maybe they've just as they were at the beach and they went, you know what?
No.
Let's go to the theme
no.
park today. And they've got, oh, we've got Oscar with us. Oh, well, tie Oscar up. That's all right.
No. Okay. Sorry.
We could do this all day or we can do this.
What? Breakfast's can of worms.
1-3-3-5-3. Marto reckons there is nothing wrong with leaving your dog underneath the car.
Anywhere.
The car park.
I'm talking
anywhere.
At the pub. I'm
oh,
talking
okay.
anywhere. If you pull up and you're only staying for an hour or so, no. your dog can stay. It's
okay.
A,
We disagree.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Yeah, Marto's made the statement, there is nothing wrong with leaving your dog underneath the car after a number of dogs were found in the parking lot at SeaWorld across the weekend. My friend Marie's just texted me. She said people could steal the dog. They could be cruel to the dog. The dog could get stressed and tangle itself up. The dog could tip Jesus. Over its water and then not have any water. So many horrible things could happen
to
that dog.
Tell her, text her back going, mind your own business.
No. No. Anyway,
like
Jody.
People need to be told to mind their own business. Pull your head in. Just because you walk past a dog that's outside a car with food, water and also tied up is fine, okay?
Dogs want to be with humans. They don't want to be in a car park, like ever.
Not all dogs.
Jody of Sandstone Point, what do you reckon?
No, I'm with Marta on this one. I mean, people have got to start minding their own business. Seriously. Yeah. The animal's not in any harm, in any danger. It's well looked after. Kids are treated worse than this around the country. No one's jumping up and down about that. Fair dinkum, mind your own business.
Someone. If there was a kid tied to it.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying. You know where I'm coming from. I mean, the dog's not in distress. Well looked after. Well, you know, people need to keep their sticky business to themselves.
Can't they just stay at home? Can't the dog stay
no,
at
no, no,
home?
No. Perhaps they've got a barking dog. It's a dog that barks whenever they leave home. So they go, let's not subject the neighbours to that on the weekend.
Oh, let's bring it to the car park at SeaWorld.
The dog's a bit skittish. Let's put it near a theme park and leave it by itself.
Oh, my God.
No. Right. The simple fact is, haven't you ever been somewhere? I don't take my dog very often out of the house because I don't want to get caught in these situations. But in the old days when you used to take the dog to work, you'd have to tie it up all over the place. And it was fine. Long as they had water, they're hardy. They're dogs. D-O-G-S. They're not people.
Dean of Toowoomba, what do you reckon about this? There's nothing wrong with leaving your dogs underneath the car, says Marto. Do you agree?
Oh, well, it doesn't matter where you leave it, but you don't tie your dog to the car because a lot of dumb people then drive off and they're towing their dog behind the car.
Oh, don't. Have you seen that?
Didn't that happen in Vacation, the
National
movie?
Lampoons. Yeah.
National Lampoons.
No, it happens a fair bit around the spot. So yeah, that's why farmers don't tie the dogs to the ute. You just let them come and have a camp under a tree.
Oh,
don't do that. That would be awful. Could you imagine a little poodle
bouncing? No, it makes them
It makes it what?
It makes them run fast, apparently. Thank you, Dean,
no.
for that insight.
Okay, what have we
that
got?
That might do it.
It's like the reverse Iditarod race. You know what I mean? Instead of the dogs dragging us.
1-3-3-5-3, the results are in. Split down the middle as well, 50-50. No one wins. No one loses. So that's always nice.
Okay. No, that's
so
good.
Many sticky beaks in our audience.
No, that means people care about dogs.
Okay. Everyone wins. Big Breakfast, Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Okay. Let me just go through this quietly and quick and calmly so that you understand. 1,100 jobs. Are pretty much what are taxed within Australia. And the tax department have released the taxable incomes from 2014 to 15, right?
Oh, a few years ago.
Yeah. Of those 1,100 jobs, 80 of them, women earn more.
Oh,
so only 80, which is, you know, that future traders, if you're a future trader at the stock market.
Futures.
Women earn more there.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, wow. A lot of that can be done from home.
Okay, maybe
a lot
that's
of futures
why.
Traders just do it at home. God, it's a risky business, that one.
Okay, but there are some other very unusual jobs that I've got the list in front of me.
Tell me a few.
Okay, so a gymnast. A male gymnast earns $31,000. A female gymnast earns
$81,000. Who pays you to be a gymnast?
Sponsors, possibly.
Circus?
Yeah, maybe. They look better in leotards.
Would they be circus, sure. like high trapeze and high wire acts?
Maybe, yeah, like Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil? Yeah, they'd be under gymnast for the tax
system. Or
the
fruit fly circus that were in town. how about bulldoze operators?
I just realized, with the gymnasts, though, they are the women are at the top of the human pyramid. It looks the same financially.
Danger money.
I mean? They're the one percenters.
Bulldozer operators.
Are you serious? Women make more money.
Okay, women make $106,000, where men make $76,000. That's a $30,000 difference.
Why is that?
I don't know, but this is according to the tax department. Master Fisher. I'm not sure. Does that mean you're a fisheries, Master Fisher?
I don't know. That means you're bloody good at it, I guess.
Okay, yeah, how about a goat farmer?
So that's not a baiter. No.
It just says Master just Fisher. Goat what farmer. So female goat farmers earn $21,000 more than male goat farmers.
What is this?
I don't know.
Actually, Nick just asked, how much do goat farmers make?
A female goat farmer earns $66,000 and a male earns $44,000.
44 to be a goat farmer. Yeah.
It looks so easy. They eat anything and they jump around a bit.
An apprentice auto glazier.
Oh, my God, that's a car window.
Women earn $21,000 more.
Why?
An apprentice?
No, just, an apprentice. An apprentice auto glazier.
$21,000 more,
A saw sharpener.
That's a real fine
surely
skill.
That's a robot's job at this point.
No, $19,000 more, $84,000 to be a saw
There's
sharpener.
There's something wrong with these figures,
Robin.
What?
Yeah. Well, there looks like some people doing dodgy activity saying they're a saw sharpener.
Oh, yes, when they're actually a drug courier. That Cassandra that's in the jail over in Colombia for the headphones. Yeah. She was a
personal trainer.
Personal trainer, that's right. Yeah. And she was making $1 million a year.
Yeah, fat personal trainer, not happening.
What about a mushroom picker? A farm handwork, mushroom picker. It's $1,440 more than a male mushroom picker.
What do they bring to the table? All right, let's come. Goat farming, mushroom picking, and feeding a window into a car. What are girls bringing to the job that makes them more?
I don't know.
Worthwhile?
A bit more finesse. I don't know. A bit more attention to detail.
No, because when it comes to surgeons, top surgeons, I think blokes were earning for some reason like $200,000
more. $330,000
more. So, if it's finesse and attention to detail, surely the women would be paid more.
Yeah, no.
I don't know if you've ever seen surgery. They just pull guts out and then chuck them back in afterwards. You want some?
Yeah, I want someone who cares. Okay, tell me about a gunsmith, because that is a really fine. They actually make guns. They don't just fix them. They will engineer the bit. You're telling me girls are better at that?
Yeah, 56,000 to 54,000. Excavator operator, $2,000 more if you're a female.
Think if your job was building guns, people in charge would be paying them the same. You know what I mean? You don't want a reason for your staff to turn on you.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Now, Rob, on Friday you mentioned it was one of your son's Year 12 formal.
Yes,
on weekend.
Saturday night we had the prees.
Yeah, you're in here this morning, so I assume it all went smoothly.
Yeah, he got home by 2:30, which was the designated time to get home. We had a couple of boarders come and stay. Apparently there was an incident at the post, but it involved post-formal like that.
Post-formal.
Yeah, okay, but apparently a glass pool fence was broken when a child went flying through it, but that's all I know.
Wow. Out of a cannon?
A child flying is the operative word.
No one was injured, just a pool fence.
God, post-formal parties do go mad, so you've done well to get all your kids home.
Oh, good, thank you.
Because you reminded me, my post-formal party, Year 12, some time ago, the week of, my friends were so scared that their parents would catch them with the booze that they'd purchased that they gave it to me. Right? And they said, your parents are pretty cool.
Where were
Cody,
you stashing
you're in charge.
It?
Now, so they gave me two bottles of Wild Turkey and a bottle of Jim Beam. So it really tells you about where I grew up, those three bottles there. And what I did the week of, I hid it under my bed right up against the back wall.
Yes.
So my bed was in the corner. I hid it as far at the back of the bed as you can. And the day of the formal, my mum came in and said, do you have any booze? And I said, absolutely not. And she said, I don't believe you. I'm going to check your room.
Oh,
and she went through
wicked.
My entire room, the drawers, the closet, went under the bed, threw everything out from under the bed and found nothing. And she's left and I've gone, oh, no, what have I done? I've lost the booze. I thought it was under my bed. I'm about to get murdered by my friends. I've ruined the post drinks. I've turned up with no drinks. They've trusted me to bring the drinks. I get in the car and Dad's dropping me off at a friend's house before we go to the formal. And he said, hey, mate, you going to have a big night? And I said, nah, Dad. And he said, you sure? And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, we're going to be pretty responsible. And he said, well, you don't have any drinks, do you? And I said, no, I don't. And he goes, I know, because I've got them. And I said, what?
Your dad did a reconnaissance.
Two bottles of Wild Turkey and Jim Beam. And I said, oh, what do you mean? And he said, mate, don't hide it under your bed next time, dickhead. He said, I knew Mum was going to look, so I went in there and stole it the day before. Handed it to me in the car. Oh, saved the day.
Oh, my Lord, your dad.
Yep. I ended up throwing up and playing footy the next day, so he actually hurt me.
Thanks,
more
Dad.
Than helped.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
What a city council's about, rates, roads and rubbish. And can I just talk about that last one, rubbish. Now, do you realise in Brisbane, this is more a history lesson for everyone else, that the rubbish pits never used to be these recycled transfer stations. It just used to be a big hole.
Like a dump.
And you'd back up a dump. And you'd back up your car and you used to be able to walk across all the dump and pick stuff up. Yeah, there'd be people with cut legs, cut arms. It was mayhem at the dump and fest.
Rats.
All right, there was everything there. Because the bloke who lived behind us, Nev, at West Chermside, he used to run the dump, one of the dumps. And we used to, when you're in, he used to bring a lot of stuff home.
I bet he did.
Now, I mention this because Dobber.
Diseases?
Nev. Diseases. Yeah, Nev had dirty clothes and he always had dirty hands. He didn't chew his fingernails, let me tell you, Nev. Anyway.
Sorry.
The reason I talk about this is because Dobbo was at Purtell Park, which is at Barden, on the other day, and it made me think how many football fields in Brisbane, because my old man helped build that field, the Purtell Park field, and it always... because they didn't really have all the levelers and laser levels like they do now. It runs a bit downhill, that field.
Oh.
And I was a ball boy. It was built on a dump. And there were always things coming. If it rained, there were things coming up from the ground.
No way. Like what?
Like old can, you know, the things that used to pull your cans
tops.
Open and durry butts and stuff like that. There was always stuff seeping through. And playing football in my youth, I knew where all the dumps were because you knew what fields you'd get infected on if you cut your leg. Hold on, can we just go through it? Because I tried to look it up. I tried to inform people, but I'm going to have to get some help here. I'm claiming, I know Browns Plains Rugby's built on a dump. I know West Rugby Union at Sylvan Road there at Toowong, built on a dump. Purtell Park, that's West Old Field, Rugby League. Bishop Park, I think, built on a dump.
The council.
Fernie Grove Cricket, built on a dump.
And the government are not going to be releasing that information,
why
are
not?
They? We're going to have to
it's
find it.
It's how we used to build sports fields, and I think we still do. Nick, what?
Yeah, I used to play American football in a team down in Melbourne, and it was built on a dump. And the problem was with Melbourne, so much rain in the winter, the field would be... brutal to play on.
As in hard or soft? Like
no, soft.
Yeah,
like if it
really
rains
muddy.
Too many days in a row, you're going through to tip.
And the fester starts to come
out.
Can I get a hand, actually? We'll talk about it and say 133353, do you know if your sporting field is built on a dump? It's what I bet you some of the soccer fields your boys play on are built on dumps.
And how do you know? Mm. Like what evidence have you had in your time?
There'll be somebody who's listening who would have turned them from a dump into a sporting field.
Okay.
It's what happens. It's what you do when the dump's full. Oh. Voila, just add sport.
Darren over at Bank Plains, have you got a field that's made on a dump?
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah, up in Gympie.
Yeah, did you ever fall over and cut yourself?
No, but there was a hole in the field one day, a big sink, like we thought it was a sinkhole. Walked over with a shovel, post hole shovel, and I put the shovel down and I tap on tin. And it was a car body. It was an old car dump. So, yeah, and then I went, as long as the shovel, I put half my body down, and as long as the shovel, I could go underneath it. So the council had to fill it up with tons and tons of sand. It was quite funny. And during the season, when it did wet up there, when it floods, the whole oval just gets inundated with water, and the soccer clubhouse goes underwater. So we're sort of used to it, but... yeah, finding those car bodies was so funny.
I know.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's unreal.
Told you. Nick.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this guy. Where the Titans play, Seabus Super Stadium, that was originally a planned sports stadium, right? But now you can go there every second weekend to watch rubbish.
Stop it. Nick from Kalanga.
How you going?
Yeah, where are you talking and what used to come up through the ground?
Oh, mate, when we used to train there down at North with the big giant footy post there.
Yeah, Shore Road, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When we used to train, like, at night, when it got cool, the heat would come up
from underground, from the old tip, from the rubbish decomposing.
Oh my God!
And would come up in through the into the atmosphere, you know, and you could watch it rise.
It's just disgusting. Yeah. Like, there are probably kids with chest infections and stuff from years ago that are... Oh, sorry, Nick, what were you going to say?
Oh, we used to use it like the opposition, so we used to have to step through it all, you know?
Playing against ghosts.
Oh, right.
You're playing Battleship on a field.
Pete of Petrie, where else have you got for us? What used to be a dump? Which sporting field?
The PCYC fields at Francis Road at... Pine Rivers PCYC there.
Right, yeah. Is that the rugby league field?
They got rugby league, rugby union, baseball, netball, yeah.
You're an enormous complex. Was that a dump?
Yeah, I used to go there with my dad. We used to go throw crap off there and do the same thing as you and pick the odd thing up.
And then it turned into a footy field?
Yeah, rugby union, the old Pumas rugby there. A mate of mine, we were playing there and he ended up having to have a half of his little toe removed because it got infected.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, there it was. We wanted someone.
You can always... That little toe is a passenger anyway. You don't need him.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, well, he never could run real well anyway.
Yeah, see?
Oh, great, of course.
Could you imagine how
he deserved it, clearly.
It's not needed for thongs. Could you imagine how much easier it would be to get into a pair of shoes
without a
little toe?
No. It's there for balance.
Oh, is it? No, that's the big toe's the balance toe. The little toe's a passenger, I swear.
No, I reckon the middle toe, you can get rid of a middle toe.
Okay.
But that,
let's
that
write
little
this
one...
down. We might come back. Which toe, if you had to amputate, which one would you get rid of?
Marto lops off his toe. For a bit of fun.
Yeah, if you are a bookie, which one would you let him get rid of?
The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
All right, I was almost a hero yesterday.
Okay, this story I have got to hear. Come on, what did you do or not do,
as the case may be? Because I was in Sydney Saturday night, okay.
Right.
Caught the first flight, 6:30, which was 5:30 Brisbane time, 6:30 Sydney time, getting home. Had to mow the lawn yesterday. So...
That's better than me saying I need to wash my hair.
Nick, I walk into Sydney Airport, got out of the cab, it would have been 20 to 6, so it's pitch dark still down there. Mm-hmm. They've still got daylight savings, not light until 7 down there at the moment. Okay. All right, I walk in, and just before I walk in through the glass doors departure at Sydney Airport.
Yes.
Okay, bloke says, oh, careful. Some bloke's outside having a cigarette, okay? And he goes, I get out of the cab, I was about to walk straight in. Careful. I said, what? And then I looked down, and there was a bird. Now... I don't know what sort of bird, but its wingspan was a metre, maybe just under a metre wide. It was lying on its back, unconscious, okay?
With its wings out?
With its wings completely spread, okay?
Oh, wow.
Only a metre wide, which is a fair-sized bird. It looked a bit owly,
tawny frog mouth?
Sort of, but not a bird I recognise, okay? And it was lying on its back. It was as if... It just decided to have a sleep right there and a really comfortable sleep on its back. Okay. So beaks pointing up at you. And I said, what happened? Knowing, as I asked the question, knowing it must have hit the glass full speed. The bloke said, just standing here about a minute ago and it just went over the top of my head and straight into the glass. Obviously didn't know it was glass. And
did the beak get into the glass? Could you see a point of impact?
No, I didn't care about the glass.
Oh, I'm just interested.
Kath would ask that question. Did it dirty the glass?
Well, hang on, no. What am I asking?
It looks like that's your fault.
Would it have been a bit concussed?
No, well, there was no contusion signs. Because I said, well, what have you done? Because the guy said it happened a minute ago. I said, unconscious, dead? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, we'll find out. Now I'm involved.
Right, of course. Yeah.
That's what he wanted because he was just standing there on his own panicking about he hadn't done it. I said,
Did you touch it?
Well, I said to him, have you touched it? He was first on the scene. I'm second responder at this stage. All right. So I went, be careful, but I've just given it a little...
You didn't kick it, you just nudged it.
Just nudge it, just pushed it to see whether it was awake. Because these things, if they attack, didn't move. So then he's gone, what do you reckon? I think it might be dead.
Or he said,
maybe it's just unconscious. And I went, yeah, you're right. Maybe it's just unconscious. And these things, and you see them, you know, you just rouse things a bit and they go, oh, righto, I'm away. So... I don't know where the bird's heart is. Like, where's a bird? I haven't.
In its chest.
Have I told you I haven't? Yep. I didn't do vet science at uni.
Okay.
so I'm not a vet. So I figured, because you've heard now the whack-a-packer, if you give them a little bit of a blow, you know, a bit of a push, you can restart the electrical circuitry. What are you putting
into
your computer?
I've just Googled how to resuscitate a bird.
Oh, Christ. Well, I could have done that because I had 10 minutes before my flight went.
Begin CPR. If there is no respiration, the airway is clear, there is no heartbeat, or the bird's heart stops beating while performing rescue breathing.
All right, Mr. Smarty, hold on, Mr. Smarty. Now,
no way I'm doing that.
Yeah, where do you check the pulse? Where do you check the pulse? Like, how would I know? So, but last thing you want is it to revive it and then it attacks you because it's going, in 1 minute it was unconscious, there you're going, this bloke's assaulting me.
Okay, I think if it's been out for like 5 minutes and it revives itself, it's going to take a while for it to.
Bit sluggish, you reckon?
All right. Well, the uptake is I gave it a couple of blasts to the chest, hoping to restart its heart.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess I just pushed
elbow.
It. No, I don't want to do it to you, but I can't even reach.
That's a good paramedic word. You've kicked it in the chest.
No, I didn't kick it in the chest. I pushed it around in the chest, and then I went, oh, mate, I looked at my watch, and I thought, this bloke's got nothing to do. I've got to catch a plane. I said, mate, I think she's a Gonski, and walked away.
And that's it. You left the bird lying there. Like, it could have been alive.
I didn't know the bird. It was a wild animal.
Oh. How's your bedside manner? Yeah. I think she's Gonski.
Well, that's a failure. There's been plenty of successes, surely.
Okay, let's find out. James of Logan, what happened?
Well, I had this big fish tank, and my son used to keep frogs and all types of creatures in there. It had this big green tree frog, and it put baby cane toads in the bottom of the tank, and green tree frog just ate one and instantly fell off his perch. And he was just dead. I must have just instantly got poisoned. Yeah. So I basically opened his mouth, taken the frog out or the cane toad out, and gave him mouth to mouth and CPR. It took about a minute, but he did come around. It was a bit groggy at first, like he'd been on the terps. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, but in a matter of 10, 15 minutes, he was back to normal. Yeah, so
well,
had to take the rest of the babies out before he started eating those again.
Mm. Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Wow, James.
How long did that frog live?
Well, we ended up having that frog for probably at least another 18 months after that.
That's great. Nice, James. What would you have done in my situation yesterday? Would you have given mouth-to-mouth or mouth-to-beak to that bird?
I suppose. Depending on, you know, man, if there was kids there and they'd seen it and stuff, probably. But
it was that old.
If no one had seen it, then, yeah, I probably would have just, same
tried.
As you. Just
tried hard.
Yeah.
Thanks,
yeah,
James.
I looked at him. Yeah.
Yeah, when it's your pet frog, you go with that extra step.
Have you seen on YouTube, there's a video of some monkeys in India and a monkey gets...
At the railway line?
Yeah, at the railway station.
And
they
revive the other monkey.
They throw this monkey around to try and get it resuscitated and they succeed. If you haven't seen it, just Google it.
It had been electrocuted or hit by a train or something and his monkey mate,
throw it on the ground?
Yeah, they literally just kept throwing it around.
It's like a whack-a-packer.
Yeah, it's full on. Anyway, we might try and put it up on the Triple M page so you can check it out.
Is it Sam?
Hello, Sam of Ipswich.
G'day, how you going?
Good. Have you revived an animal? If so, which one?
I have. I had a, I think it was about 5 or 6 week old puppy.
Oh.
And I was giving it some raw sausage. I was like, you know, here you go. And here he is chomping away on it. And I'm just laughing. I thought he looked hilarious. And all of a sudden he's fallen on his side, unconscious.
Oh, dear.
And I've gone, hang on. And I picked him up. He's completely limp. No heartbeat or anything. Holy shit, this little guy's choked. So I've got my fingers in there, scooped it out, and I've given him, with two fingers, just a few light compressions on his chest and a tiny, like, a mouthful of breath into his snout. And after a couple of breaths, he took a massive breath of air and he went cross-eyed and he came around.
What sort of puppy was it?
Chihuahua cross.
What a story.
Oh, tiny, tiny.
Little long fur Chihuahua cross.
He's still with you now, I bet.
He is. He's about 3 or 4 years old now.
Oh,
look mouth at to you. Snout.
Mouth to snout and you saved his life.
Now, the sausage. Let's get back to the sausage.
Oh, the sausage. You can't feed the sausage.
Clearly.
Oh, you've got to bag the butcher.
Amanda Lynn of Crestmead, you've revived a bird. Have you successfully?
Oh, here we go.
I have, yes.
What happened? Tell Marto, because he didn't.
Oh, Yeah, my cat had brought a bird in for fun. Fun for her, not for me. So I put the cat away in a room, and then I went into the corner, and it looked like it was dead, but you never know. So I walked a little closer and saw that, yeah, it wasn't breathing. His chest wasn't moving or anything. So I just, you know, started pushing on its chest a bit.
That's what you do.
And then, okay. That's, you're right, yeah. And then I just kind of cupped my hand around its beak and then just blew into my hand.
Well, I didn't do that.
Yeah. And yeah, this damn thing woke up and then I had to try and get it out of my house.
Oh, so it woke up and
all over the place.
Flew.
Yep.
Oh, I bet your pet that
racket?
Brought it in wasn't happy.
No.
Yeah. Well, now, yeah. My question before was, if you were caught breathing air into it, did it wake up as your mouth was still over its beak?
It actually woke up as I was doing, like, more compressions.
Can you imagine the story when it got home? Oh, you'll yeah. Where
You're
are
not
you
gonna
being,
believe
Steve?
This.
That is how you revive a bird, my friends. Seriously good story needs a seriously good Barista Brothers iced coffee. $200 for you, Amanda Lynn. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Nice.
I see your Google Maps going off in the background. What's going on?
It's the monkey being resuscitated at a train station.
I'm sure it's a good video, but we don't have to watch it mid-show.
We've got Amanda Lynn reviving a bird, and you're watching monkeys.
On my
iPad. It's all about respect around here. That's where it starts.
Throwing other monkeys around. What is right? Actually, hang on.
I don't know what card means.
Big breakfast.
Monday.
Triple focused.
Triple M's big breakfast.
Weirdest job I've ever heard of over the weekend. I was reading the news and I saw that due to alternative meat popularity, right? Because there's a lot of vegans and vegetarians. Yeah. They're looking for non-meat options. You know, they're looking for meat. But they don't want actual meat. You've got Fakin and whatnot. There's
Hold on. Is there a product called Fakin?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, fake bacon.
Yeah, fake
That's
bacon.
Amazing.
No, it's not.
It is pretty atrocious.
It's amazing that exists and I hadn't heard about it.
Mm. Well, there's someone that they're struggling to keep up with demand, and that was a not-for-profit snail farmer.
Hmm.
Wow. Why would you not want to make profit out of snail farming? Because there isn't any?
Yeah, well, I just thought a snail farmer, is that just someone with a big backyard? Like, what?
It's
just a lot of dirt, isn't it?
How do you breed snails? Do they all get into the one shit?
I don't know.
Well, there's the one shell.
Does one go, like, I'm having an away fixture? Or my name's
and
Sue,
why would
I'll
you
go
breed
to
snails?
Place.
What, people are eating it instead of meat, like they do in France, like
unreal.
Escargot?
Well, this lady, she's got her farm 150 kilometres southeast of Adelaide, and it's 8 years ago she began breeding snails on her care farm, which hosts people living with dementia.
Wow.
Because you can just feed them anything, can't you? This
no.
is lamb.
No.
Is it? No wonder it's not for profit. How's business going, mate? On the snail farm? Slow, unfortunately. Yeah. Very slow.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.